Azure developers, these Bash developer guys, and everybody else had a lot to love in Build 2016. But so did Windows developers. In fact, there were so many announcements, sometimes it's hard to keep it all straight. So this is my attempt to rush through every announcement to give you a high-level familiarity of it. Let's start with the XAML improvements that we got inside the platform. Developers would often create their own solution to handling and supporting animated GIFs. Now it's part of the framework. In fact, we showed where you can use a bitmap image as a subtype of the source property, and you can autoplay them on and off. So nice little feature, useful for a lot of developers, now supported natively. We also have a long time coming here, lightweight styling that are control specific colors. This allows me to say the background color for the pointer over event of a button, right, is a specific color. In order to do this before, we had to retemplate the entire thing or change at a application level the entire theme color. Now we can set that theme color to be at application level specific to all buttons, or we can do it at any level, even down to the page, so that we don't affect all the buttons in our application. Very nice feature. Big deal, too. Big deal. Another thing we have now is the context flyout property on every element. This allows us to set that right-click context behavior right where we want it to be. So we've always had this as a flyout property on button. Now it's extended to all the other elements, and it's the context flyout. And we've always done this programmatically. Now it's all handled for us. The placement of it, the handling of the event, everything. It's beautiful. We still use the same flyout syntax otherwise inside our declared XAML. Part of this implementation introduces a new event called the context requested. I've always had the right tapped, but the right tapped wasn't really accessible friendly before. So now we have right tapped, which is effectively the right click. You can not pay attention to that. Now you can pay attention to the context requested and get a much more reliable event to base your behaviors on. So very handy for the context flyout, but useful in other situations as well. So the context flyout is going to use the menu flyout when it shows items, and there's new support now for nested items. Sometimes you want an item inside an item inside an item because that's the way things are supposed to work. Maybe even a flyout where you need a date picker, and you need a date picker on a menu. It wasn't supported before, now it is. So very beautiful. The pop-up that shows up today, we still have that pop-up, and we've added a new property called Light Dismiss Overlay Mode. This allows me, if I set it on, it shows this nice kind of smoke, kind of hazy thing behind it. This gives us a really nice affordance to be able to see that there's a pop-up to show here. And so a lot of developers already handle this themselves with custom development. Now we don't have to. You just set this overlay mode on, and it's beautiful. Command bar has had a lot of work done. One of the things that we get is the label position. So this is default label position, by the way, because this is us asking for a specific position, but depending on which platform you're in, you know, HoloLens, Xbox, IoT, sometimes that different implementation will go ahead and override this. But on the whole, we run it. So you could have it at the bottom, which is where it is today. Now we've added right, and it really adds for a nice effect if your label is pretty long and didn't originally fit. That's a nice look to it. Okay, the command bar also has, this is more of a fix if you ask me, the overflow button visibility. This is the ellipsis. It was always visible before. We solved it in template 10, but there was no way for a developer really to go in otherwise without some serious code. Now you can set it to visible or collapsed, or even better, auto, right? All three of those were possible in template 10 before this, so it's great. Command bar also has now is dynamic overflow enabled. This is absolutely beautiful. You put a whole bunch of commands in your primary command list. They flow into your secondary command whenever there's no more room for them, right? And it does all that calculation for you, as well as introducing a little bit more syntax on the individual app bar items so that you can indicate what happens when they start to overflow. Big improvement there. Now, there's a lot of influence into the platform now coming from Xbox. That's a 10-foot experience, and so a lot of things changed. The old focused visuals simply weren't visible enough. And so now there's new visuals. There's two. There's a primary and a secondary. And you can affect then what they look like and how thick they are, or accept defaults out of the box as well. It's really great. Makes your application real easy to see. Makes the focus real obvious. And so that's a nice improvement and gives you a lot of the flexibility to make changes to it without embedding it into a template. That's not what's going on. So that's a big improvement we already had. Now it's just flowing to be even more robust. The combo box got the type ahead. Beautiful. Now you can go into your combo box full of states, let's say, start typing that state, and it'll give you an autocomplete box below, filtering up all of the items in it. That's really nice. All you have to do is say, is search text enabled, is true. You actually don't even have to do that because it'll be defaulted to true for you. Now you might wonder, what if it's a really complex data? Well, all you need to do is implement iCustomPropertyProvider, where you can then implement getStringRepresentation. You're returning then whatever the string is for your item. It handles it from there. So if you have simple data with just a string, it can go ahead and do that without your help. But if you have complex data, it needs your help, and this is how you do it. The pivot control has a little bit of change, and this has a lot to do with focus as well. The first is whether or not the carousel is enabled. You know, if you have too many items, you can keep clicking right and it never stops. It's a really great experience, but sometimes it's wrong. It's not what you want, especially in a tab experience. And so now you can go and set that to false, and they're static. Another thing that the pivot control has is the header focus visual placement. So in the current version that we have item headers. So whenever the focus would go up to the header of the pivot, the entire header would get that focus. Now we can change that if we want to the selected item header, which is a really nice experience if you think about it. So the user uses their, especially like an Xbox controller, moving up there, and they can navigate around in a really simple way. It's funny because the influence we get from Xbox and the strong influence we get from accessibility are really friends with one another. Making your application more accessible makes it work better on Xbox. Making your application work better on Xbox makes it more accessible. It's really cool. All right. Another thing we have now, again, this comes from Xbox, is element sound mode. And so this is because inside Xbox, as we move from item to item, by default, you get this a sound as you move, little bloop, 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 as you move from one to another. Now we can turn that on as well. We also have the ability to do it with the state to determine if it's going to be on or off for the player of the element. Set its volume by just passing in a float up to one so that we can set that down if it's too loud or we want to make it a very subtle experience for the user as they're in it. And then the player, so we can invoke it. So if we can turn it, the whole thing off, doesn't mean we don't use it at all. We can invoke the entire thing, passing in then this preset list of sounds. There are no custom sounds right now. These are the preset lists that we can pass in. So as they move around, we can see those. So very, very nice. The Xbox application, XAML's application now has a property called requires pointer mode. It used to always be true or in this auto mode. Now the developer can go in, and what is this, by the way? This is when the Xbox controller feels like a mouse pointer, and there's a little mouse pointer moving around, the D-pad controls it. So now I can go in and say when requested. Otherwise, it was always on, right? And I would move around. That was okay, but it wasn't a beautiful experience. So now, if that's what you need, no changes at all. But if you want to give a much better experience, you can say when requested. Very, very nice. We've also added a lot around focusing. And so XY, up, down, left, right focusing, and it uses a whole heuristic that looks at the layout of your application and its current rendered positioning, and it figures out what the next element to the right to the left is. So you can allow that to be automatic, but you can also call these programmatically now in a way that really never worked before because of gamepad navigation. So we always had a little bit of support. Now we have tremendous support. There's a new thing that developers think about called the TV safe zone, which basically pulls your application in and gives a margin around it so we know that it can show regardless of whatever kind of Chrome the TV is presenting. And so the recommended piece for us then is to set the page background, which we rarely think about the page background. But now, setting the page background will extend outside that margin. And if you hate the margin and you want to do something else and control the whole thing, that's okay. Set desired bounds mode to use core window, and you can get rid of that TV safe zone. Not recommended, but sometimes it's still the right thing to do. Sometimes. All right. Another feature inside XAML we have is keyboard mnemonics. These are accelerators like Alt F for file, Alt A for all. Well, I don't know what Alt A does actually, but Alt S for save. How about that? And so you can set the access key, which gives us a couple of events as well. So the invoked and display requested, right? So, display requested is when the little letter shows up wherever you're going to click on it, or not click on it, but hit the key, and it gives you a little bit of affordance to the user so they know where that is going to be invoked. When it's invoked, then that event is raised as well, each with a handler so we can override it, show our own tooltip if that's what we want to do. Otherwise, it's right out of the box and nice and beautiful. Okay, a lot of changes to data binding, specifically to XBind. The first one is function binding, where I can bind not only into a property, I can also bind into a method. So in this case, I'm binding into .toString, but I could be a method in my view model. This could say viewModel.getName, right? And I can pass in properties, one or many properties, including the value of those properties could be something else in my view model, the text of a text box somewhere else, or anything that I want to. All the iNotify property change stuff still kicks in and causes it to reevaluate for me. Really beautiful. The ability to access the indexers inside a dictionary wasn't there before with XBind. Now it is. You can do something like this. Sometimes this is the right thing to do. Very, very handy. And that limitation has been lifted, which is great. Here's something very special. XBind requires that on both sides of the equal sign be the same type of object, right? And so if I'm trying to pass something into something and it's let's say it's just type object, I have to downgrade to object sometimes for that to work properly. XBind no longer requires that because it has explicit value casting where I can say, in this case, you can see I'm binding to item, and that item is whatever it is, I'm going to cast it into user. And so that's a C# experience there, isn't it? And that's the way that it works, right? It's basically taking item, whatever it is, casting it into user. You do have a risk of a runtime exception if you're coming from something like object, but nonetheless, it's a beautiful thing that was a limitation before that we didn't have before. Developers are smart enough to use this stuff wisely. We also have implicit visibility conversion. This is where I can take a Boolean and try and convert it into a visibility, which of course is not possible, but it is now inside the XAML framework when we're using XBind and binding, by the way. Classic binding has the same trick. What about bool question mark? A nullable Boolean was always a problem, like the isChecked of a checkbox. Converting into that, we had to cast everything back down to object again. All of that is gone. Now we have implicit binding again, or implicit conversion again, directly into a nullable, which is a great thing. Also with classic binding. All right, so one thing to know, these improvements around compile binding and the implicit conversions with classic binding are only available in the anniversary edition of Windows 10. That means when you create your application and you select which is the min version can't go back behind the anniversary edition. Now, this is Windows 10, where everything is always being updated. This is a much better world. This sort of limitation is something that is a month, 2 month handicap. After that, everybody will have updated, or at least the majority of your users will have updated. So it's a beautiful experience there. Okay, so we announced the component UI kind of framework, this thing where we have cross-process hosting of different things where I can take something like Edge and host it inside my application. Remember when you'd grab the window handle back in the day when you were creating a Windows application? This is reminiscent of that. Not something we have released, just something we sort of hinted at. A new control that we are not releasing, but we are making open source on GitHub, is the tree view control, right? This is the exact control that Edge already uses in its favorites pane, drag and drop, accessibility, all the stuff that you know you want. Now you've got it, you just go and get it. Will it show up in the toolbox? Probably. It just didn't make it this time. All right. Awesome new feature, right? So you know that down at the metal where you're doing direct 3D sort of stuff is just incredibly awesome and performant. And then above that is XAML, making it all that easy to use. But you know, when that sort of simplifying abstraction also reduces a little bit of its ability to perform. So now we have something in between those two called the Windows UI composition. That's the visual layer that's in between XAML and the metal, and it allows you to do amazing visuals like Blue? What is blue, I wonder? Drop shadow, blur. It's blur. Blur, drop shadow, parallax, and awesome things like that. You could do some of them like this already in XAML. The reason they're valuable here is because they're so high performance, right? Other things that you can do with it is implicit animations, where I can say, I want to take this value to this value, whatever it is, and I just want you to animate it for me, even if I don't know the starting or the ending value in advance. So implicit animations, very, very powerful, and it's going to take you a while to get your head wrapped around it, and once you do, you'll be in love. All right. The media player element has also been enhanced so that we have the ability now to start playback that continues in the background even when your application is closed. With the list view has been given the items updating scroll mode, right? So this is the right now I can add things to my list view, and it's always showing the top one like I would want. But what if it was a chat application, and what I really wanted to show was the last one, always scrolling down as things were added to it? That's a new feature here where we can select keep last item in view. So a beautiful feature there to enable new use cases that were harder before. So on top of the framework element, we now have allow focused when disabled. This could be a big deal, especially for accessibility. If you needed it before, now you've got it, right? So this is really beautiful. Input scope, that's the type of keyboard that pops up whenever you're interacting. The SIP, right? The software input. And so now there's a new one called chat without emoji. I'll let you read into that whatever you want. List view base now has single selection follows focus. As the user uses their arrows, for example, and they're moving around the focus, not selecting, but moving the focus around, it also selects, right? Prior to this, I would move with the arrow, then select with the space bar, right? And so now I can make it so that's a single action, and that's really nice. All right. Visual Studio has a lot of enhancements, especially for developers on the XAML platform. One of them is Edit and Continue, an incredible experience that they demoed over and over in Build, where they launched almost a blank application, started writing the XAML into Visual Studio, and the app that was still running just started rendering what they wanted. It was really a cool experience, really cool. We haven't had really anything like that. Changes to XAML required a full reset, and now that's gone, so that's great. We also have a new little toolbar at the runtime toolbar, that includes the ability to point at the specific item, take you back to the visual live tree, and to reveal the adorners. So I think that's really cool. A big enhancement that really is just burgeoning now is the light bulb inside XAML, right? We already have the light bulb inside C#, where it suggests a whole bunch of things, and then we can extend that with C# analyzers. Now we have the light bulb inside XAML editor, so it gives us things to improve as well, right? And the ability to extend it. So here's Visual Studio also gave us, this is the C# side of things, code style rules. This has been missing forever. A lot of us use style cop and things like that. Finally, we're going to see this inside Visual Studio. Absolutely beautiful. We also have analysis tools or diagnostics tools where we can use specifically in UWP apps. And what it does is it looks for common mistakes in your XAML, then suggests how to fix them, right? So not exactly what the light bulb is, but similar. And it's basically evaluating your XAML and saying, for example, here's one. You loaded your application and you've defaulted visibility to collapsed. Why don't you use X-defer, right? That's just an example of what might be in there, but it's great to have this. So especially developers who are just getting familiar, or developers who have really large code bases who just overlook things easily, now you have these sorts of tools to make your applications better. They've also introduced the credential ring now for the store package, so you don't have to log in every time you release a new update. That's a big deal. And a really cool feature around the screen narrator that basically is this blank screen mode, right? This developer mode where you get to interact with your application and it doesn't reveal anything in your app to you. And so you get to experience what it would be like if you had some sort of vision impairment, so you can start making your application better than before, right? Before, we would use the narrator, but we would cheat and look at the application and then try and make it better. This makes it so you can really experience if your application is almost unusable by a large group of your user base. All right, the Ink Canvas capability. Now we have simultaneous pin and touch both at the same time and implementing both with gesture recognizer. So big capability there. The low latency of pen is enhanced. So much stuff around inking is just sitting there waiting to go. And the fact you can do them both at the same time, awesome demo where they showed that you would put your finger like to anchor a line and then draw with the pen and you would have a straight line from it. Just other things you can do. It's really your imagination. Live Tiles got the ability to finally chase those notifications. You know how it slips through many different news articles. You click on it, but it doesn't take you to that news article. Well, now it does, right? It starts moving through different pictures. You click on it, doesn't take you to that picture. Now it can. So now you get the ability to get the exact notification that the user tapped on when they tapped on your tile. So a great experience for the user. Other things, you know how adaptive Live Tiles use the adaptive syntax so that they can show more or less depending on the density of the screen. We've brought that to Toast, so we have adaptive Toast as well. So that's really cool, so you can have really rich and beautiful Toast experiences. And more around Toast notifications is we've added the ability to have a hero image, so one that's these nice full bleed images that's absolutely gorgeous. And another feature now, I can right-click my Toast notification even in the Action Center and get more capabilities without having to drill into it, so that part's nice as well. And inside the Action Center, we now have the ability to synchronize our actions across multiple devices. So if you swipe and you dismiss your red email or whatever, now that red email message is read on all of your other devices. And as a developer, you always have control to see whether or not that's what you want to do. Sometimes your application doesn't want to synchronize across devices, and that's up to you as a developer. So you have all kinds of capabilities. All right. The Action Center also has the has its own icon to control it, and it's moved to the other side of the clock. So there's been a little bit of a discoverability issue around users being able to find it, so now this will make it very noticeable to the user. We've also introduced along the taskbar, applications can now show badges, that little number. And so may seem trivial, but it's a big deal, right? It's a big deal that now you have so much more control, making your application so much more valuable. And we've introduced the user notification listener. This is a class that will basically keep in sync the Live Tile badge, just your Live Tile information and the Toast in Notification Center. So maybe what you want to do is cycle through notifications on your Live Tile of all the Toasts that have come in Action Center, and as you dismiss them, you want to update your Live Tile so it doesn't show the ones that are dismissed. This is what handles that for you. So nice to have that all wrapped up in a class. Now, big capabilities, right? Application extensions. My ability to have downloadable content for apps that I can load. I load it right into the publisher folder, right? That's that shared folder across all the apps that I might have written and you install on your device. I put it in there, and at runtime, in process, I can bring those in. So really cool capabilities to be able to pull things right out of the store, and a whole special story around discoverability as well. We also have app URI handlers. So where I might say something like, look at the bottom there, http://special-news.com. Well, whenever I click that, it opens up a browser. But what if my application is the special news application? Wouldn't it be great if I could somehow redirect that URL to my application and pass then its query string and all of its extra information along as an argument into my app? I sure can, and that's what this does. We call it app URI handlers, and it works a lot like protocol activation. Connected applications also give us the ability to do remote launching. So this is where I can find an application somewhere on another device, my app, let's say, and I can launch my app on your phone. I can launch my app on your Xbox. Really cool. Then I can start messaging to it to give you a kind of a two-screened experience, even though it's really two apps. Now, we've already had Smart Glass, right? This is where I can interact and kind of remote control my application that is on my Xbox. Now that's open to you. So you can have this companion experience through connected apps in your application as well. Maybe even more incredible is that I can now call remote app services. So app services is me calling another app's background task. So I can call that background task without ever invoking the foreground task. The perfect example is where I call Facebook's background task that gives me all the users without accidentally launching Facebook. So that's really nice. And so now you can do that to any other app or apps that you have that are intended to be there on that machine, which is what we've had before, or on other machines, locally, through the LAN, through Bluetooth, even through the cloud, which means you may not even be in the same building. And of course, the connection now has a new property called IsRemote that allows me to determine where I'm being called from. So that's pretty cool. How about this? Coming soon is the capability to do all of this on Android and iOS as well. They demoed it right there. They said it wasn't live yet, but the fact that they demoed it, it was super reassuring. How cool is that, that your application now can be so cross-platform? So all of this is handled by remote discovery, right? So a remote discovery allows me to look for, by using the MSA of the current user, I can look over Bluetooth LAN or the cloud to find other applications that I'm able to invoke this way. So it's really cool. And then have a watcher to see what devices are added and removed from that list. So I could have 1, 2, 3, 4 different devices that pop up and then then the applications on those. So very cool, very powerful. We already had extended execution. So this is where your application's about to be suspended. And you want to set up on load that you don't want it to be suspended. You want it to remain in memory for whatever reason. And before we had driving directions was the only reason. Now we have the unspecified reason, which is a big deal because now we can say, hey, leave us open because we're important, and it does, right? So maybe your application had a requirement before that simply couldn't be met, that you couldn't just let your app be suspended. Great, now it can't. That being said, extended execution still has limits. One of the limitations is if the reason your app was being suspended was because the overall operating system was being constrained by resources, you might still be suspended anyway. Of course, in extended execution mode, you don't have any UI, so your memory consumption is really low, so you're not quite as susceptible to being terminated because of memory consumption. So that's great, and having that unsupported now that we didn't have before, so we don't all have to pretend to be driving directions applications. All right, UWP mapping control. So much happening in the mapping control. Now we have KML support. KML is really, it's Google's standard for building a map, and it's an XML standard, and it's great. And now we can import that into ours as well as Esri's shapefile, and all of those then get converted for you. You don't have to think about behind the scenes on how you convert them. It's all handled for you. Speaking of things that are handled for you, now there's a full geometry calculation library inside the map. So I can do things like find intersections and boundaries, and I can do unions and all kinds of things that anybody could do with a little bit of math, but that sort of math is complex and needless because it's just repetitive and easy to get wrong, and then you got to test it, and wouldn't it be nice if it was all wrapped up and given to you for free? Now it is in the UWP map, so a lot of power there. Cortana had, you know, Cortana knows a lot. Like, Cortana knows where my home is, and it knows where my work is, and it knows when I'm leaving, and it knows when I'm arriving, and it knows all kinds of stuff about my calendar and more. All of those things allow Cortana to trigger and do all kinds of neat things. Wouldn't it be great if those triggers were provided to me so I could do them as well? Because even though it's neat that Cortana knows I just got home, my application also needs to know I just got home. So I don't want to ask the user, hey, where's your home? Because Cortana already does it. I also don't want to spin up a brand new geofence because Cortana already does it. So I can use Cortana and all the resources she's already consuming without duplicating it, making my application heavy for nothing, just leveraging what Cortana knows. We call those predefined insights, and they're awesome. There's tons of them, and you'll be surprised how easy they are to use and how handy it is to make your application so much more useful. How about this? Proactive Cortana now going to be available on Android, iOS, and Windows. All three, that's quite a cross-platform story for that as well. A big part of Build was the discussion and introduction of the bot framework, right? This bot framework where basically it's, in a lot of ways, it's a text-based wizard. I don't want to talk down about it because it's so powerful, but I want it to be understandable, right? Where you can interact with the user in a chat room sort of situation over Skype or over Slack or something, and there, or even Twitter and text messaging. They ask a question, and because of their question, you can use LUIS, Lewis framework on the back to be able to infer what it is that they mean, be able to come back with a follow-up question to get more information, start following a full workflow process you have in your application. The user never has to load your app. Well, I can implement that as well inside my application, interact with them through Cortana the same way. So very, very powerful. The bot framework, so easy to use. You'll be impressed with how simple it is. The Windows Store has a lot of capabilities that they're going to introduce to us now. including Project Centennial. This is me taking my Win32 application, my WPF app, right? And or my WinForms app, or just the Win32 app, and wrapping it up and putting it in the store so the store can handle upgrades, the store can handle licensing, the store can handle distribution. Really, really cool. That's called Project Centennial. Gives a lot of power. In App Build, they were inviting people to come put their apps into Centennial to see how easy it was, and in a handful of minutes, the wizard basically just wrapped it all up. What it does is it gives your Win32 application the ability to do Windows runtime events, you know, things like toast, tiles, in-app purchases, really cool things that really you couldn't do any other way because that's restricted to store apps. Windows Project Centennial makes them store apps. We also introduced beta testing in the store and now A/B testing in the store as well. That's a feature a lot of people have been requesting, probably not as much as user groups, where I can go and make sure that my application can be managed by my entire team or a larger team than just one person who, when they're sick, we're all kind of stuck. So now we have user groups for administration inside Windows Store the way we all knew it would eventually come. We also announced the availability of the Enterprise Store is coming, where we can handle licensing and GPO management of the store across different devices, including bring your own device support. And perhaps one thing we didn't mention explicitly but is worth pointing out is the NetCore Universal Windows Platform has been revved from 5.00 to 5.10. And you might think, oh, I wonder what that limits me to and when that's coming. It's already here now today. And you can put it in your application with backward support all the way back to 10.240, and it is so fast. I can't tell you the performance improvement of just upgrading to 5.1. All right, that's been Build 2016 for Windows Developer, as fast as I could give it to you without taking away from it. There's all the information on Channel 9 where you can watch each session individually, completely like I did, and put together a list like this for you. Best of luck.
Do you have a demo that you'd like to share? Send a note to Demo of the Day. That's DOTD @Microsoft.com.